Praise God. Thank you for tuning in to new series on the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm Evangelist King, pastor at House Shalom, where we simply building a peaceful house for God's glory. Today, I will be covering lesson 17 entitled Exposition on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in which I will attempt to give an explanation or comprehensive description on 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So therefore, dear heart, we need to ask ourselves, do we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation? So far the lesson have covered all of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So for those of you who have not heard the previous lesson, I will advise you to go to houseshalom.org/School of the Spirit and look for new series, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit, and start with lesson 1. And then once you come to lesson 17, ask yourself, do I have the gifts in operation? And also, do they function according to the divine pattern that God has given us? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gift, but rather that you may prophesy. So, verse 1, the word rather has only to do with the two gifts of the Spirit, which is prophecy and tongues. Now, chapter 14 deals with these two gifts of inspiration. Again, I'm not going to go over this information, so it's just best for you to go and make sure you listen to the entire teaching series, starting with lesson 1. Don't be skipping lessons, but start with lesson 1. But chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians deals with two gifts of inspiration. Inspirational gifts. There are 3 gifts of inspiration, and chapter 14 deals with 2 of them. Again, chapter 14, verse 1 say, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So you got prophecy and tongues. They are 2 of the inspiration in their gifts. Also, verse 2 say, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, but for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So verse 2 is the gift of tongues is for speaking unto God. It's our prayer language. You know, that is our prayer language. You know, it's not the gift of divers kinds of tongues, and then the interpretation of tongues, but it's our heavenly prayer language in which we receive at the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost. For whenever we speak in tongues, remember, we're not speaking to men, but we are speaking to God, and no one understand him but the Spirit within the man, along with the Holy Spirit speaks mystery. So in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 14, the gift of tongues is for speaking to God, which is prayer language, which is our prayer language. And that's a gift. Now verse 3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now this is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is for speaking to men. Now I also want you to remember that the gift of tongues coupled with the gift of interpretation of tongues, it equals out to prophecy. It equals out to prophecy, okay? And prophecy, again, is when we edify, exhort, and comfort one another. And remember now, this is supernatural. It's not coming from our mind. It's a supernatural utterance from and by the Holy Spirit. So verse 3 is talking about the gift of prophecy, which is for speaking to men. That way, mankind can be edified. Now, verse 14 say, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So verse 4 is talking concerning the gift of tongue edifies the person speaking. Anytime you speak, in an unknown language supernaturally, and there's no interpretation, then you only is edifying yourself. You're not edifying the church. You're not prophesying to the church to comfort, edify, and exhort the church. So verse 4, again, the gift of tongue edifies the person speaking. Now again, I want you to remember, dear heart, this is done all supernaturally. It's not coming from our mind, but it's a supernatural utterance from the Holy Spirit. So again, you know, whenever you speak in any tongue, and there's no interpretation, you only edify yourself. You only build yourself up. It is not edifying the church. Verse 5 say, and it reads, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more than you prophesy. For he who prophesy is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may be edified. Okay, so verse 5, the total church can participate in this edification if there is an interpreter. There must be an interpreter. Like, for instance, the whole church, which is the body of Christ, everyone has been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in tongues, dear heart. They are edifying themselves unless there is an interpreter, which will bring the interpretation of what's been spoken in that unknown language, in that tongue. Then the church can be edified all together. All together, the church will be edified. Why? Because someone is interpreting it. Okay? So, verse 5, the total church can participate in this edification if there is an interpreter, or if there is interpretation. Remember, Paul said, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongue, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may be receive edification. So in other words, dear heart, it's okay to speak in public tongues, but make sure there is an interpretation. You know, remember, it's the Holy Spirit who wills that a person speak in an unknown tongue. And you must all, if he will to use you, then you also must be willing to allow him to use you to interpret. Have you seen a lot of people in a public service that they would jump up immediately and speak in a tongue, just speak in tongue, and they'll sit back down? Because it's easy. It's easy. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit ever speaking in tongue, it's easy to jump up and speak in tongue. It only requires faith, but faith is required to interpret what you just said, you see. A lot of times we get the two mixed up anyway. We get our heavenly prayer language mixed up with the gift of tongues. We get that mixed up. The gift of tongues is a public gift. Now, the tongues that we speak privately in talking to our heavenly Father, That is a private gift. We do that during our devotional time because we build ourselves up. So actually, the church have, let's say, the members of the body of Jesus Christ have been mistaught concerning the gift of tongues. Praise his holy name. Now, verse 7, it say, even things without life, rather flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? So verse 7, was I over? Okay, I already did verse 6, so yeah, I want verse 7. So verses 6 through 13, so I read verse 6, I've read verse 7, so let me go 8. Through 13. Verse 8, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare them for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you would be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, see, a person can be zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you speak to excel. Don't let it be so it can make you look good or make you feel good, but let it be so the church can be edified. And when the church can be edified, then you must prophesy, which is speak in a known language to the body or the members who are at that time in the congregation. So verses 6 through 13. Verses 6 through 13. These verses illustrate the need of the gift of interpretation in the open assembly. That's the purpose of verses 6 through 13. It's showing us important how also if we speak in an unknown tongue, then we must interpret what we say so that the full body, the members of the body of Christ who is present in the assembly, may be edified, may be comforted, may be inspired, because they can understand. So these verses illustrate the need of the gift of interpretation in the open assembly. Now, musical instruments must give forth sound and meaning. Music must make sense and sound. Okay? You know, I could make a noise on a trumpet, but it would not have a meaning. It would just be bland. But in tongues must be interpreted. So tongues, in other words, without interpretation, is bland. It's just like making noise on a trumpet and it have no meaning. So tongues must be interpreted. They must have meaning. And the only way tongues have meaning, again, is that it must be interpreted. So verses 6 through 14 and 6 through 13 in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter is letting us know the need that we must have as far as when we speak in tongue in public assembly, there must be an interpretation. So, dear heart, you and the sound of my voice, you listening, you have been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, evident speaking in tongue, and you might be one in your church and get up in public assembly and just ramble off in tongues and you sit right on down, thinking you did your duty. You did not do your duty, because the people did not understand you. It's meaningless to them. They was not comforted. They're not encouraged. Now, you call yourself being comforted, encouraged. You even say, well, I did what God wanted me to do. No, you didn't. You did what you wanted to do. Because if you're doing what God wanted to do, God wanted to edify and comfort his church, his children. And he could not and did and could not because you sat down. You did not believe that the same God would also manifest through his spirit through you to interpret to his children what you just said in an unknown tongue. You see, dear heart, you see the importance of us getting the understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how he manifests himself. Now, in verse 10, the Greek word for voices is phones. You know, there are oceanographers have now recorded the voice of a fish, which is a whale. The mother hen has a voice that her chicks understand. But so it is in tongues. The sound is very meaning. The voice is very meaningful. Okay, the voice is very meaningful. It's like a phone. And God knows every bright vibration of tone. That's why the devil hates. He hates the gift of tongues. He hate that. Because he can't understand that vibration. He can't understand that tone. You know, he's wondering, what is they saying? Well, they say he don't know, you see. But God knows. So verse 14, the tongues alone in the assembly, which is a public assembly, are unfruitful. We do not just we do not just speak into the air, because that's what we do when we speak in tongue in public assembly and there's no interpreter. It's like just speaking into the air. Remember, we're only speaking to God. And the human being, the people, God's children around us, they do not know. So verse 14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So again, tongues alone in assembly are unfruitful. We do not just speak into the air, we speak to God. Okay? So again, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I mean, my mind don't understand it. Then verse 15 says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding." You see, dear heart, this is very important. So, verse 15, the balancing of the natural and the supernatural is necessary. So if you, in the public assembly, willing to jump up and pray in tongues, then at the same time, within yourself, you'll be asking your Heavenly Father to speak through you the interpretation of that tongue, so that His body, His church, His children can be inspired, comforted, and edified. See, there must be a balance. The balancing of the natural and supernatural is necessary. Because again, it say, what is the conclusion? Well, the conclusion is, I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. Understanding is your mind understanding what your spirit have just said. So that when your mind understand what your spirit saying, then your mouth can speak it. Can speak that understanding, so those who are listening can be comforted, inspired, as well as edified. And also it say, I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So you can also sing in the spirit. You can sing in the spirit. And when you sing in the spirit, then you also turn around, trust the Holy Spirit to interpret or inspire you to sing with understanding. I mean, your mind is receiving understanding of what your spirit is singing, so that the body of Christ can hear and they can sing right along with you. They can sing right along with you. Verse 16 say, "Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, say amen, or at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say?" So, verse 16, the unlearned refers to those in the position of being an outsider, or those who are not gifted with tongues. You know, because there will be many who may come to the public assembly who are unlearned. They don't know about these things. They don't know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. They never even heard of tongues. But yet and still, you get up in public assembly and you speak in tongues and there's no interpreter or interpretation, where the unlearned is going to look at you like they're crazy. Like, man, I don't understand what this person said. They're talking another language. I don't understand. It's not helping me being here because I don't understand. I'm not coming back here. So again, you know, we must also speak with our understanding so that the unlearned can understand, and they will say, and they will announce that it's the truth, and they'll say amen. They'll say amen. Why? Because they understands it. Also, in verse 17, it says, "For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified." He said, "I thank my God I speak with tongue more than you all." So verse 18, Paul gives his personal testimony of the use of the gifts. Praise the living God. Also verse 19, say, yeah, in the church, he said, I would rather speak five words in his Aramaic language, because that's the language that Paul spoke. Well, his understanding, that's what he understood was the Aramaic language. He said, I'd rather speak with five words in my Aramaic language that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So, verse 19, this verse does not regard or misrepresent as being of little worth regarding tongues. It is not Paul telling people they should not speak in tongues. He was just telling you and I the difference. It proclaims the divine ministry of the communication, the need to instruct others. It is a rebuke to selfishness in spiritual places. And one can be selfish when they have received tongues. They'll be selfish, only care about building up their own selves in the public assembly. And it's like they showboating, showing off that I speak in tongues, and they just ramble off in tongues in public assembly. And then their mind tell them, well, you did God's will, and I feel good now. You know, not thinking about others who are unlearned and don't understand, they did not get no encouragement out of it. They was not built up. They were not comforted. They was not edified. You see, so this is what Paul was bringing, that rebuke of people, God's people, who was doing that. He was not forbidding people to speak in tongues. He wanted them to know the correct use of it and to trust and rely on the Holy Spirit, because it's as he will that he manifests himself in whatever gift that he chooses. So again, this verse is not saying that, pastor, you stop your members from speaking in tongues. Don't allow members to speak in tongues. No, you let them speak in tongues, but at the same time, you let them know when you speak in tongues, I'm expecting you, the Holy Spirit through you, to interpret what you say so we all can be built and edified and comforted. If you can't do that, then you don't speak in tongues. So again, the Apostle Paul is proclaiming the divine ministry of communication, the need to instruct others. In other words, it is a loving rebuke against selfishness in spiritual places. Verse 20 say, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. See, they was a child in understanding. They was spiritually speaking very immature. Brethren, be not children you're thinking, but in understanding be men. You know, be in malice you be babe, but in understanding you be spiritually mature. So in other words, we need to know the Holy Spirit manifestation and what each of his manifestation, which is nine ways he manifests himself, what they truly mean, so that we can be mature men and women of God, so that we be perfect candidate for the Holy Spirit to use us in the public assembly. You know, first he's going to use us privately at home. That's why it's good that you listen to the teaching series, study and meditate over the teaching series in your private home. And then God said, what you do in secretly, then he will expose you openly. That means he be using you at home in the nine gifts of his Spirit. So when you assemble with your brother locally in the public assembly, you'll be the perfect candidate for the Holy Spirit to use. Because why? Because you understand who he is and how he manifests himself. And he can trust you not to make a mess of things. That's why a lot of people not coming to church today. A lot of sinners not coming to church today because of immature Christian who have just have done like the brethren in Corinth, misused the gifts of God and drove people out of the church because they did not have that understanding themselves. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is getting us not to make that same mistake. That's the reason why the Lord, through Apostle Paul, left us these instructions. Praise the living God. So, dear heart, that was a short exposition of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I pray that you continue to meditate on what you heard and study in the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can lead you further into truth. Because it's only Him who reveals more and more truth to us as we pursue the Lord with all our might. Praise the living God. Okay, dear heart, so our next lesson, we got 18:19. Two more lessons, which is lesson 18. And we're going to talk about, now the devil's got counterfeit of the nine gifts. Those actually are the gifts that we're seeing mostly in operation in many churches. It's not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, but it's the devil's counterfeit of the nine gifts. So we're going to talk about in lesson 18, the devil's counterfeit of the nine gifts. So dear heart, remember to visit us at howshalom.org, School of the Spirit, and you'll find more teaching lessons and teaching series on the School of the Spirit, Supernatural. Praise the living God. Stay blessed, dear heart, in Jesus' mighty name. Shalom.